At California Psychics, we know some people can't read the career warning signs, like your boss still not knowing your name.
You, Tina, Lisa, Sheila, whatever. Get that report to me by lunch, okay?
It's Carrie, ma'am?
Just get it done, Terry.
So talk to California Psychics and receive the career guidance you need. We only connect you with the very best, so guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com today for limited time offers.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Indeed we are, ready to go. Gwen and Chris, 1 p.m. out east, 10 a.m. out west. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby with you. Padres back in action here again tonight after taking it on the chin in last night's affair. Phil's walk away with a 4-0 victory. Offense once again was stagnant and left more opportunities out there. Runners in scoring position that has continued to plague the ball club. And they lose the first game of the two-game set. Weather is questionable today. Got some rain in the forecast, so we'll see how this unfolds. But, yeah, gentlemen, how are you today?
We're good, and never fear, Tony, if it rains. Scraby and I have already agreed to stay on the air. Since it's only a 4.5-hour show, we both told Adam Klug we would just stay for another 3-4 hours.
Today. I didn't say a word of that.
I'm joking. Yes, there is absolutely no way. So no. They better get this game in.
Actually,
is what
our
I mean.
Plan is to make sure that Sam Levitt gets on the air.
Sam Levitt may have a show today if they don't get this game in. But you know, a couple of things. I know everybody's going to focus on the runners in scoring position thing that stands out like a sore thumb. But when you're facing a guy like Zach Wheeler. I don't expect to get many hits with runners in scoring position. He doesn't throw the ball over the plate and give you a chance to do that. And he's that good. And this, to me, we can break this game down in a whole bunch of different ways. Jackson Merrill made an incredible catch.
Oh, my goodness.
And saved the game for a while there. Arise made a diving double play. So the Padres did some things well. And then they did some things not well. Look, Matt Waldron, I know his numbers are crazy. I thought he pitched pretty well. The thing that killed him was not covering first base. That's the thing that ultimately doomed him. It was a little tiny thing like that. And so, I wasn't that disappointed with him. I mean, the ball's, dancing all over the place. Well, hey, that's what a knuckleball does. So, but the bottom line was they had Zach Wheeler. We didn't. That's it. And what the game reminded me of last night is what we're missing right now. Our number one guy that can go out and do that to another team is not healthy, not pitching right now, and we need him back. That's how important a number one ace pitcher is. So that's what I saw last night.
I couldn't agree more. I think Zach Wheeler was Zach Wheeler last night, and he put on a clinic. It doesn't erase that the Padres, despite Zach Wheeler being on his game, they gave themselves opportunities.
Yeah.
And you don't expect to get a lot of those, and you don't expect to cash in a lot of those. But when you add that to the previous day in which the Padres were 0-13,
right.
it stings a little bit. And so, you know, it doesn't get any easier here today. Should they be able to get this one in? Christopher Sanchez, one of the better pitchers in the National League on the mound, who is very stingy when it comes to runs. The Padres have their own version of that Nick Pivetta going on the other side. So I would expect another low-scoring affair even in this ballgame.
Yeah, and I don't know. I caught something early in the game, Tony, and I don't know that it, you know, was actual, but it's just one of those things watching, you know, on TV. I can't really go there and ask anybody. But first inning, Jackson Merrill saw four pitches in his first at bat. I don't think any of them were actually strikes, but he swung at all four. He did foul one away and then struck out. And they had two or three strikeouts early in the game on that down and in curveball, the lefties. And I know that's a great pitch, but I'm wondering, was that a sign that you could connect to, all right, everybody's trying to do a little too much right now. We're going after pitches now instead of just waiting and relaxing. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I wonder if there was a tad of pressing last night. After the 0-13.
So.
No, okay.
I didn't think so. I thought it was more it was more Wheeler and how he was setting up to getting to those breaking balls. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I said it on air yesterday. He reminds me a lot of Roy Halladay and how he used to like dominate the inner half of the plate. Like, he wanted to control that. That's the same thing Wheeler was doing last night in a lot of cases. He pounds you in with a sinker if you're a right-hander or a four-seamer if you're a lefty, and he'd get a strike in there, and then he gets you thinking away, and then he set that breaking ball up, and it's big. It looks like it's a strike the way he was starting it at.
Right.
But he had enough snap on it that he knew he could get it below the zone. And, you know, if it's just that pitch in a vacuum, okay, cool. But it's set up by the previous pitches that get you off of being able to, you know, be able to take that pitch in a lot of cases because, he's got you thinking something different at that point. And so –
well, he's good.
He used that to perfection last night.
Yeah, he's just that good. And, you know, honestly, when I watched him, I just kept thinking, well, you know, we have Michael King when he's right doing stuff like that to other teams. And there's not a whole lot the other team can do when a pitcher's, you know, that on his game. And one last thing for Wheeler. You talk this down and in curveball. So if I saw him doing that early in the game at getting lefties out, I guarantee you the Padres saw it. They knew that was the go-to, you know, that he was going to try to get him out with, except for in the sixth inning with two guys on and two out and Gavin Sheets up there with a chance to maybe, you know, get a hold of something here, get them back in the game. And Gavin Sheets has been great. When he got to two strikes, Wheeler went for a low outside tailing away fastball. And there's just no way Gavin Sheets could have been expecting that. And then, of course, he put it right on the corner. So that's just great pitching. That's what that is. So hopefully tonight they can, get Sanchez at less than his best. And the good news for the Padres, they have Pivetta going, who's been good but not as dominant on the road as he has been at home. But what did you think of Waldron? Overall, I mean, the knuckleball was crazy good in a way because it was almost uncatchable at times.
A couple things that I thought it was notable that he stuck with the knuckleball at a very, very high percentage. I think he was somewhere around 70% with the amount of knuckleball. The highest, I think his average was 38% last year. And so I think that's where some of the walks came from, is that typically if he went 2-0 on two knuckleballs, he'd throw a sinker or the sweeper to kind of get himself back in. He just kind of stuck with it. And I thought outside of him kind of shooting himself in the foot and not covering, and then, you know, Padres not being able to get the the stolen base attempt on a great slide by Marsh.
Yeah.
Right. Like he only would have given up the two or three runs. I mean, I think technically that inning led to two runs.
It did.
Where he didn't get off the mound. And so I thought he threw the ball well. I don't know whether it was game plan or not, but it was notable that he stuck with the knuckleball, at a high percentage. Compared to what we saw last year from him. I thought he threw the ball well.
I thought only two balls were hit hard, really hard. One was the home run that Castellanos hit, and the other one was a Kepler hit. And obviously Jackson brought that back. But six walks and three wild pitches, that to me sounds like a losing performance unless you're a knuckleballer. That's what, you know, can happen. And a lot of times it's still a winning performance because it's so tough to hit that pitch. I think it was a good starting point for Waldron. He just picked a bad day to have to face Zach Wheeler. That's all.
Yeah.
So, you know, Waldron could have pitched eight innings and given up one run. He probably would have lost the game. So that's just the way that one was going to go. But yeah, you got to stick with it, Tony. I mean, the team as it's currently constructed is what it is, and it's not going to, you know, until a trade or two is made, until a couple of guys on the pitching side get healthy, this is what you're bringing out there. And if you go 1-for-31 in the last four games with runners in scoring position, I'd say you probably lost all four games, but you actually didn't. Because the one hit you got with the runners in scoring position was that three-run homer by Gavin Sheets, which won you a game. So at least you got that.
You want to know? So I have a friend who is trying to learn baseball, and he is not a big baseball guy. And he goes, he texted me last night, well, Xander Bogaerts is getting on base. Why can't the other guys get on base?
And yeah, I was like, it's not that hard, right?
I was like, because, you know, Zach Wheeler is really good. And I looked up his stats last night. In the month of June, he only gave up two earned runs, and he's gone three straight starts without giving up a run.
He's probably the Cy Young Award winner in the National League right now. I mean, they put the candidates. Yeah. You guys put the candidates up there on TV last night. He's better than any of those guys.
Yeah, I agree.
He really is. The only other guy that's going to get some votes is Paul Skeens because people are so in love with him. But you can't give the Cy Young Award to a guy with two wins. So, or maybe you can in this day and age. I don't know. But yeah, I think Zach Wheeler is probably the best pitcher in the National League. And so that's what we ran into last night.
Yeah. No, he was. He was phenomenal. All right, let's get to break. Get into a little bit more of this matchup with the Padres and Phillies. Should we be able to get a game in, weather permitting? More Quinn and Chris on the other side.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Honestly, every time this particular intro plays, I feel like it's an ad for one of those casinos.
Okay.
It's just a casino vibe to that
Is
one.
It? I didn't know
I expect
that.
Somebody to come on and go, go to Hamul Casino or wherever you
7 Mile Casino.
7 Mile and win lots of money and have a ball. We will have a ball. It's Gwynn and Chris until, I think, 2:30 today. Tony's in Philadelphia and says the weather could be a factor later on, but at least as for now, Padres and Phillies at 3:30 this afternoon, and Padres will be looking to square up the three-game series after Zach Wheeler shut them down 4-0 last night. There are a couple of other stories. We got plenty more to talk about the Padres, of course, but I'm sure you saw this pop across your screen, Tony, but I thought big enough to mention Dame Lillard, one of the great NBA players, has been waived by the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, I guess maybe we should understand this a little bit because he's already out for all of next season with a torn or ruptured Achilles tendon. So the Bucks have moved on from Lillard, who's now he's a free agent, right? And the Bucks picked up Miles Turner from the Pacers, who was just in the NBA Finals. The other little note that popped up here that I thought was worth mentioning, only because it's just like the Miami Dolphins, but tight end Darren Waller has been cajoled out of retirement to come back and suit up with the Miami Dolphins. So I guess Kellen Winslow was unavailable. So the Dolphins are looking to the retired heap of players now.
I wonder if Greg Camarillo is ready to play again.
Yeah, get Greg back. Hey, look, I'm going to tell you right now, this is straight up. I would feel more confident with Greg Camarillo than I would with Jaden Waddle. And I know Jaden Waddle's faster and more electric and more talented. And sorry about that, Greg. But I still, if the ball's up in the air, I know Greg Camarillo's going to catch it. And I don't know that Jaden Waddle is. So I would take Camarillo. Anyway.
Man, it's like that now?
Yeah.
Man.
Sorry about that.
Jaden Waddle
Who should I apologize to, Jaden Waddle? Or should I apologize for Camarillo for saying the Waddle's more talented?
No, I don't know that you should apologize to him. I'm just saying, dang, I didn't know it was this bad for you, man.
I've been down on Jaden Waddle for two seasons now. He dropped a huge pass in the playoff loss to Buffalo. Not that, I hold grudges, but that was two seasons ago.
No, not at all.
Two seasons ago, he dropped one that would have changed the entire game. And so since then, I've been down on Jaylen Waddle. But that's neither here nor there. I think a lot of people are down on the Padres. I know a lot of people are down on the Padres right now. But to me, it could be, a whole lot worse. I mean, this whole NL wildcard thing is going to be, right up for grabs, right down to the end. Now, the one thing that's happened is we're talking about the wild card for a reason, or at least I am, because I've kind of lost sight of the division title. And that's happened very quickly, guys.
Yeah.
I hate to say it. It was about 2 weeks ago that we were paying much closer attention to the Dodgers results. Because the Padres were, neck and neck with them, game here, game and a half, et cetera. All of a sudden, it's now 7.5 games. So I don't know that you rethink anything if you're the actual, the team goes out and tries to win every game. But I think, for the fans, I think you have to kind of come to the realization that unless the Padres get really hot here, the division is starting to slip out of sight. Now, I know that doesn't mean anything to the guys in the clubhouse, Tony. They're going to still play the same way.
Right. Yes, that is accurate.
Fans, though, the 7.5 games, it got there quickly.
It did.
Right?
Yeah, no, it did. I mean, that's what happens when you're not playing at your best. You could slip in a division like the National League West that has a bunch of good teams. And so right now the thought shouldn't even be about the wild card. Frankly, it should just be about trying to get better and get an offense going, all at once. you know, as opposed to a couple guys swinging the bat well. I think that's kind of where it starts. And then you kind of, once you start to do those things, then the standings start to kind of take care of themselves, as we saw in last season. So, yeah, they just got to figure out, you know, how to get this offense producing at a better clip, or more importantly, how to capitalize on opportunities that they're creating.
Well, the offense is certainly the thing that we're all looking at, because they absolutely have nobody hitting well right now. And before you tell me that Xander Bogaerts has three hits in back-to-back games, I'll tell you that the fans released him. We DFA'd him a month and a half ago, so he's no longer on the team. You know, I mean, it is incredible how hot this guy is right now. I mean, he a week and a half ago had an 8-for-8, and now he's had 6-for-8 in the last two games. He's had four three-hit games in the last 10. So that's Tony Gwynn senior territory there. And, you know, he's hitting with some, you know, some slug. I mean, he's got three doubles in there. He's got a couple of home runs in there. We're not going to say we told you so, right, Tony? We're just going to say this is why you don't DFA a guy who has a track record of being a pretty good hitter and a pretty good player.
We'll say that he has had a really good 10-game span, and it's promising based on the type of hits we're seeing from him. I mean, 472 in that span, an OPS over 1300. He's got 7 extra base hits. You kind of hit on that a little bit. I think you're hopeful that, all right, he's going to be, he can get it going. We've seen Gavin Sheets continue. He made two, he was 0-for-4 yesterday, but he hit the ball on the screws twice, just right at Marsh in center field. So you got guys who are swinging it good. Luis is swinging the bat good again. And so you got pieces that are seemingly swinging the bat good. And listen, I get if at this point you're not ready to count Xander at this point, but the fact is in the last 10 games he has swung the bat very well, and you hope he can get it going, and you hope he can keep it going, I should say.
Yeah, OPS has climbed over the 700 mark. All right, you know, we have to start somewhere for Xander Bogaerts. The other thing about the game last night is the game of inches aspect of baseball. Now, it cuts both ways, and the Phillies won the game, and that's not up for debate. But it would have been a lot bigger margin had Jackson Merrill not levitated in center field. Tony called it.
Levitate.
Yeah. That's not what he said last night, but he did call it.
No.
Jackson went up. I don't know that he mistimed it by a fraction, but he was able to stay up there.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And pull that one back. So that was a great catch.
How tall is the wall in center field?
It's about 6 feet, Tony. Doesn't look that high.
Yeah, I don't think it's about. It might be 6 feet.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, someone was asking me. Well, he looked like he jumped over, almost jumped over the wall. Well, he is 6'3", so he's not a small guy.
He's 6'3", and he got up. Don't get it twisted.
Like, no, he did.
That was off a vert. He got up a little bit. Didn't. As I said last night, he kind of hung there for a sec because it was a tick early, and it was like, man, it was an impressive play, man.
That was pretty good. Anybody who has Max Kepler on their fantasy team, I do. I do. What am I supposed to do? I can't draft all Padres. You know, he's on my team. That cost me a 3-run homer. But, you know, if it's going to happen, I was glad Jackson did it. But those are hang with thems when you're playing fantasy. You're like, ah! But Arise made a great play to save a couple of runs. However, on the other side, the Padres, again, the game wasn't completely over. And I thought Mike Schilt made a very smart move in the fifth inning. And this is one of those good managerial moves that nobody cares about because you end up losing the game. But fifth inning, you got two guys on there. I liked trying to get a bunt down for a moment Try to get a couple of runners over and maybe get 3-1, 3-2, get back in the game, finally score. Unfortunately, Bryce Johnson didn't get the bunt down and lined out. However, Schilt stayed with it and pinch hit right there. Went with his, really took his best gamble in the fifth inning that Trenton Brooks could get you back in the game with one swing of the bat. And how much harder could have Trenton Brooks hit the ball? I mean, he creamed it. But as luck would have it, it went right to the guy and a double play and the inning's over. So those are the game of inches things I'm talking about. I mean, if that ball sails a little higher, it goes into the gap, it's a triple, and it is 3-2. So, you know, it is funny. They're struggling mightily. They get shut out. A lot of people out there probably going with the old standby Scraby. They're not trying very hard. I don't see any effort, you know, that whole complaint.
I see.
But it's really not that. It's just a crazy couple of things. You know, Waldron gets off the mound a tad late. And, you know, Trenton Brooks thing, the game's a little different. So, anyway, I'm trying to keep us upbeat.
No, I get it. And, it was a lot. I just don't understand.
Wait, like, do you think they're not trying? Or
No.
Because when I said that, you gave me a look.
Oh, I gave you a look because last week on the Scraby show, I said, if they're not trying, then why was Fernando in there like a night after he almost broke his wrist and got a pitch, you know, hit by a pitch? Like, these guys are trying. They don't want to be bad. It's just not working right now. Sage words.
I think it goes without saying that. They clearly want to win, but
they care.
It's not going right for them.
It's
not going well for them right now.
That's right. All right. But the good news is it can change quickly. A couple of wins to wrap up the trip in Philadelphia and all would be well. We'll take a quick timeout. We have an early morning edition of Chris's Fantabulous Game Show. Yeah, well, you're the defending champ, surprisingly. So you better get with it.
Right.
If you haven't played or heard it, it's coming up next. I know you'll enjoy on Gwen and Chris.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I feel a little better today, Scrape, than yesterday morning, because yesterday was the first day we were in at 10 a.m., and my body wasn't ready for it. Today, a little better. I feel a little more prepared. Not sure why I was able to make such a dramatic improvement in one day, but I feel better.
Yeah,
how about
I'm not
you?
Sure either.
Oh, you don't feel better?
Well, Lucky kept me up all night.
What is up with your dog?
Yeah.
I mean, take care of your dog.
Hey. Well, I do take care of my dog.
Well, when dogs have stomach ailments, it's normally because owners of dogs feed them things they shouldn't.
I do not feed him anything because I do not. I do not want him to be a dog that is a mooch, so I don't feed him things. I have a feeling he ate something on the hill, and now he's just throwing up. And he's not throwing up. He's just going to the bathroom a lot. And he kept me up all night, so that's why I'm a little grumpy, guys.
When he keeps you up, first of all,
That's why? Does this happen all the time?
Yeah. Does he sleep in your room? He's a big galoot of a dog. Does he sleep in your room, or where is he?
He sleeps on his bed and on the floor of my room.
In your room.
Yes.
So when he keeps you up, that means he's up jumping on the bed, or he's crying,
No,
or
he
what?
Usually just sits next to the bed, stares at me, and starts crying, like, okay. Hey, I need to go outside.
I need help.
And then if it's really dire, he'll jump on me.
If it's really dire.
He'll jump on me, and then I'm definitely awake.
Gotcha.
But I'm worried about him. Worried about
him. Oh, Lucky. He'll be okay. His name's Lucky. You know, he's got that going for him already.
He right?
He does.
Yeah.
Thank you. So. You made me feel better.
Yeah, he'll be good.
All right.
Although our dog, Kylie, never has a stomach issue.
That is not true.
Pretty true. Lori feeds that dog more healthy than she feeds herself. If that's possible.
I don't think dogs are supposed to eat
carrots
anyway.
And tofu.
No, no,
I know.
Tofu.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but you know.
Hey. It's health. It's all health.
It's all health. Food.
And McKee says on the chat, Bernie's perfect poop is the best dog probiotic. So I might have to go get some of that.
If nothing else, you buy it just for the name. You walk into the store and go, do you have some Bernie's perfect poop?
Do you have any perfect poop?
Got to try that.
Yeah, you do.
All right, well, let's get to our game show. Chris's Fantabulous Sports Game Show. We'll tell you about it. After we introduce it properly.
Hey, all you beautiful people out there. It's time to play one of our favorite games of the week.
All right.
We like to call it.
Ooh, I'm going to go.
Chris's Fantabulous Sports Game Show. And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
Scravy just called my attention to the stream camera situation. It looked like Scraby was lording over me, a la Dave lording over Tony. You were sitting way up high, and I was at the bottom of the camera like that.
So I like it.
Had to
lording.
Had to fix that up. All right, welcome to the Fantabulous Sports Game Show. I'm your host, Chris Ello. They are your contestants, Matt Scraby and Tony Gwynn Jr. I will give them a topic. There will be 18 correct answers today. They will take turns naming correct answers. Obviously, they get one right, they get a point. They get one wrong, or they repeat an answer, they get a strike. First person to 10 points, 10 correct answers, wins today. Or three strikes, and you're out. And we invite you out there to play along, see how many correct answers you can get on today's topic. And guys, don't look now, but it's July. It's July today, and that means the Hall of Fame.
NFL!
Yeah, the Hall of Fame game is in July.
Oh,
that's
you know
how close
playing,
we
too.
Are to NFL. I think it's Chargers-Lions this
it
year.
It is, yes, you're correct.
So we have a Hall of Fame category for you today.
Okay.
I have 18 guys. It's a pretty small select group. There are 18 NFL Hall of Fame quarterbacks who have also played in a Super Bowl game. That is your category
today.
Say
it one more time.
18 NFL Hall of Fame quarterbacks that have also played in a Super Bowl.
Oh, okay.
That's it. Only 18 guys are in the Hall of Fame and have played on Super Sunday. So you got to name those guys.
Can I put in a complaint with the people who order the pens around here?
Do you not?
This
is a weekly thing.
Two pens. Both of them are brand new.
Wait, can we talk about the fact that he was literally complaining about this during the break, and it has clearly frustrated him enough to where he had to bring it to the public. He was just whining about these pins just about 15 minutes ago during the break. And this guy has now brought it to the show.
Normally, Tony and I get you a nice gift certificate for Christmas.
You're going to give me a bunch of pens?
I'm going to give you the biggest box of pens ever made.
All right, I got one working.
All right, Tony gets the option of going first because he was runner-up, as it were, last week. Tony, would you like to go first, or would you like to let Scraby guess first?
I'll go first.
All right. It is NFL Hall of Fame quarterbacks who also played in a Super Bowl, and there's only 18 select guys who have done it. Tony, you're first. Go ahead.
Steve Young.
Starts right at the alphabetical bottom of the list.
Wow.
With Steve Young.
You stole that from me.
Steve Young played in Super Bowl
29. Yeah, that's why I took it.
Super Bowl 29 for the 49ers. It went good for him and not so good for the Chargers. Yes. That was Young's lone Super Bowl appearance, but he made it a winning one with six TD passes.
Get that monkey off my back is what he said after.
Yeah. All right. We don't need Super Bowl memories. We just need the answers.
I think he threw six touchdowns. Oh, my Deion Sanders even went out for a pass and got clobbered in the second half.
Anyway. All right, time's up. Time's up. Give yourself a buzzer. You didn't get your answer
in
on time.
Okay, all right. No. I'll go with the other 49er quarterback, Joe Montana.
Joe Montana. All right, that's correct. Joe was in four of them. And, of course, he won them all. Perfect 4-0 for Joe Montana. One of the reasons why he's considered one of, if not the greatest quarterback of all time. I don't believe he threw an interception in any four of those games.
Wow.
Tony Gwynn Jr., you are up, sir, in a 1-1 tie. Hall of Famers who also played in the Super Bowl. This might be a tougher category than I think because...
Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning is correct, yep. Peyton played in four Super Bowls. He played in two for the Colts and two for... the Broncos. He split for the Colts, and he also split for the Broncos. So he's 2-2. Peyton Manning is correct. Tony takes a 2-1 lead. Just want to double check this. No, never mind. Okay. No hints.
Oh.
Scrabby, you're up. Give me a Hall of Fame quarterback who played in the Super Bowl.
Let's see.
15 correct answers remaining.
I'm going to go Johnny Unitas.
Johnny Unitas. Well, you're really drumming one up. Johnny did play in two Super Bowls. He came off the bench in Super Bowl III, and he started Super Bowl V for the Baltimore Colts. And Johnny Unitas is a Hall of Famer. So
I was just
qualifies.
About to say, when is he going to drop the fact that he's not a Hall of Famer on me? Because this is how he sets things up.
Johnny U. Oh, God. Johnny U's in the Hall of Fame.
I know.
Are you kidding
me? I was like, am I wrong?
Nope, you're not. 2-2. Correct. And it's time for Tony now. I'm just surprised you thought of him so early in the game because that's. Not necessarily a newer generation signal caller. Go ahead, Tony.
How about Brett Favre?
Brett Favre, yep, that's a correct answer. Brett played in back-to-back Super Bowls, Super Bowl 31 and 32. He won the first game against Parcells and the Patriots and then came to San Diego as a heavy favorite and got beat by the Broncos. Brett Favre, correct, 3-2. Tony, Scraby, you're up with 13 correct answers remaining.
Mr. Elway.
Yeah, that was. I probably leaned you into that direction because.
You did nothing of
the
sort.
I'm just saying. The game that Favre lost was to Mr. Elway. Of all of the Hall of Fame quarterbacks, this might surprise you. John Elway has played in the most Super Bowls of guys in the Hall of Fame. He's played in five, and he's 2-3. In those,
would you rather play in five and be 2-3, or would you rather play in one and win it?
I'd rather be 2-3.
Okay.
Although Elway probably didn't like the fact he was 0-3, but then he was able to win his last two. 3-3 is the score. Tony Gwynn Jr.'s turn. 12 correct answers remaining. Hall of Famers who played in a Super Bowl. See, this list is tougher than I thought.
It's getting tough.
I thought it was going to be kind of roll
Kurt
off
Warner.
The tongue, but it's not doing it. Yeah, Kurt Warner's correct.
Oh, no. That was my last one.
Warner and Manning are the only two that played for different teams on this list. Warner played in two for the Rams and one for the Cardinals. He had a record of 1-2. Tony leads 4-3. There are still 11 correct answers. These are all Hall of Fame quarterbacks, so you know who they are. You just have to come up with them. They played in a Super Bowl game.
I'm going to say...
Scraby to tie it.
Bart Starr.
Going all the way back to Super Bowls 1 and 2. That's correct. Bart Starr. Green Bay Packers. He was also MVP in both Super Bowls 1 and 2. So that is a crazy. Going back to the old days.
I'm trying to think of my childhood.
Well, that's not your childhood. That's like your father's childhood.
That was an easy one, though. I don't even think that was my dad's childhood.
I know. It's way back. All right, 4-4. We got 10 remaining. No strikes. But I think it's going to be not too much longer before we get a strike, potentially. Tony.
Oh, dang. I didn't write down the first couple, so I like can't remember if he said it. I don't want one of those.
No, you've been doing that lately.
I have. How about Terry B?
Terry Bradshaw. Get you one.
Yeah. Oh, that is a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, Bradshaw, much like Montana, started in 4 Super Bowls and won them all. Perfect 4-0 for Terry Bradshaw. I think people just think of him now as kind of this old crotchety guy who's lost his marbles.
Yep.
Right? If you watch him on Fox, I mean, he's like, what has happened to this guy? But he was a pretty good quarterback.
He got hit in the head a lot.
He was a pretty good quarterback. He also had 2 Hall of Fame receivers that helped him out in Lynn Swann and John Stallworth. 5-4 lead for Tony. We're halfway home. 9 correct answers, 9 remaining.
I'm going to choose a guy who made my childhood horrible in regards to the NFL.
And that was Troy Aikman. Yeah, I thought you'd get him. Aikman played in 3 Super Bowls for the Cowboys, and he was perfect. 3-0 in the Super Bowl.
I cannot tell you as a kid how much I hated him and Michael Irvin and Emmitt Smith. Hated all of them.
Well, I believe off the top of my head that en route to all 3 of those Super Bowls,
they had to beat the 49ers.
I think they probably beat the 49ers. Yeah. So, all right, we're tied at 5. There are 8 correct answers. Now it's getting a little more nitty gritty. I will tell you that all 8 of these are very, popular quarterback Hall of Fame names. But again, you have to come up with them. 8 left. Hall of Fame quarterbacks who played in a Super Bowl game. Tony Gwynn Jr. 5-5.
Dan Marino.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you.
Was saving him.
Marino did get in 1 Super Bowl and has a record of 0-1. In fact, he's the only guy on this list who played in just 1 and lost it. Marino. And that was in his 2nd season, so he's like the cautionary tale.
Very unfortunate for him.
Yeah, and for me.
Yes,
for I had to root for every one of those seasons that we didn't make it afterwards. But Tony does lead 6-5. 7 left, Scraby, down to it. Who you got?
I would say Rex Grossman, but he's not in the Hall of Fame.
Rex Grossman did play in a Super Bowl, though.
Yes,
qualifies on one part.
He's not in the Hall of Fame.
But not on the other side.
What about Broadway Joe?
Joe Namath.
Oh, you took mine.
Way to go, Scrape. Super Bowl III, the guarantee. Namath is correct. 6-6 with 6 left. Can you get the last 6 guys who played in a Super Bowl that are also in the NFL Hall of Fame? How about you out there? How are you doing? You got any of the 6? Let's see if Tony's got one right here. No score or no strike slip. They'd have to cut that and re-edit that scene. Tony.
How about Bob Greasy?
Yay, thank you, Tony. Another Dolphin. Yes, sir.
I would not have thought of that one.
Greasy was in 3 straight Super Bowls. Lost the first one, won the last 2. He was in Super Bowl 6, 7, and 8. And Tony coming up with the Dolphin hero there.
I don't know if this
7-6, 5 left. Scrabe, can you do it?
I don't know if this guy is in the Hall of Fame yet.
That's a tough one.
That is a tough one. I'm going to go. What about old Fran?
Francis Tarkenton?
Yes.
Good one, Scrabe. Very impressed by you on that. Yes, Fran Tarkenton is in the Hall of Fame. And he started 3 Super Bowl games.
Wow, okay.
He lost them all, but he did do it. Super Bowls 8, 9, and 11. Sir Francis.
Sir Francis.
Yeah. The one thing about Tarkenton that gets lost in the shuffle, one of the craziest, greatest scramblers of all time.
Oh, yeah, I've seen
He could
videos.
Run around back there for like 25 minutes sometimes before he threw the ball.
Definitely seen videos.
Yeah. All right, 7-7. We're down to 4 to go. Right down to the end. You guys have not missed one yet. I'm very proud of all of you, both of you. Who are the final four? Start with you, Tony Gwynn Jr. Hall of Fame quarterbacks who played in a Super Bowl. Do you have one?
Speaking of losing them all, how about Jim Kelly?
Yes, I think I might have leaned you there with that last. Wasn't a clue, but
didn't even think about
Tarkenton
that.
Led to Jim Kelly. Yes, played in four Super Bowls in a row, and they didn't win them all, any of them. But Jim Kelly is certainly qualified as a Hall of Fame quarterback. Good one. Tony leads 8-7.
All right.
Three to go. You guys are doing amazing. I'm really proud of you.
I don't know if this guy's in the Hall of Fame yet.
Well, give it a guess. You got three correct answers out there.
I'm going to go with... let me think real quick.
What? He's thinking real quick. You can do that. We're at this stage of the game where thinking is allowed.
Dallas, we've already...
Oh, he's going through every team in football now.
What about Roger Staubach?
Is that your guess?
Staubach?
Is that your guess?
Yes.
Roger Staubach is correct. He played four Super Bowls, 6, 10, 12, and 13. He was 2-2.
That was one I had to hold back on because I couldn't remember if someone said it.
Roger the Dodger. He was also a good scrambler because his nickname was Roger the Dodger.
I do like that nickname.
All right, you guys, there's only two guys left. We're almost at the top of the hour. We may have to go to a tiebreaker if we, we see we got two guys left. Can you come up with them? Two Hall of Fame quarterbacks who also played in the Super Bowl. Tony is up with no strikes between you guys yet.
Please don't let this one have been said already. I'm going to go with, let me make up my notes real quick, make sure. Lynn Dawson.
Sitting there smoking a cigarette at halftime
of
game one.
I didn't know his name, but I saw the picture.
Lynn Dawson. He was in two Super Bowls with the Chiefs. Super Bowl I, where he smoked a cigarette, and also Super Bowl IV. All right, we've come as far as we can go, but I do have a tiebreaker that is a good tiebreaker if you tie it up, Scraby. There is one name that will tie this up. It is 9-8, 17 of the 18 Hall of Fame Super Bowl quarterbacks have been named by you guys in a row. You haven't missed a one. Scraby, to stay alive, or at least to extend the game, what do you have over there,
I'm
sir?
Trying, Chris. I'm trying.
I'm sure you are. And, it's easy for me. I'm looking right at it on the sheet, but I typed it up, so...
All right, I'm just going to go with a name that
I think you have a minute before the break.
No,
I'm
going to
give you a minute. You're going?
I'm just going to go for it because I've had this written down for a while. Cannot remember if he's in the Hall of Fame, but I know he played in Super Bowls. Ben Roethlisberger.
Ben Roethlisberger. Big Ben played in how many? Three?
Three, maybe? Four?
Not yet in the Hall of Fame.
I knew he was 2-2!
Oh, yeah!
That's a strike.
But
it's not over yet. Tony could get a strike. No, he could get a strike, and then you could come up with it. The game is not over yet. Tony needs to still get this last one to clinch it. And he's going to have a moment to think about it because we're at the top of the hour. Can extend the drama. Tony, can you extend the drama for a moment?
I can extend it for one moment.
All right. Well, when we come back, hopefully Tony will name the last Super Bowl MVP quarterback and he'll win the game. If not, we'll see what happens. More Gwynn and Chris still to come. Can you name that last one out there?
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.